The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middleest brother, Travis, Big Dog Wolf of Vroom Vroom McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's your sweet baby brother, Griffin 30 under 30, built Ford Tough McElroy. Why did you send me a TikTok, Travis, the second we started recording?
Because we were
talking about things that you
right
were going to do.
Right before we started recording.
Oh, right.
It was a travel recommendation.
You're right.
You requested specifically from him.
I just got the notification quite delayed. So I thought you were like, dude, you're never going to believe what Donkey Lips looks like now, or whatever the fuck the kind of TikToks.
Donkey no, you Lips would believe it.
Actually, I would absolutely, because I put the gentleman that portrayed Donkey Lips in a cameo for Travis. So he would actually definitely believe what Donkey Lips looks like now.
Yeah, that's a fair
point. By the way,
good point.
If you need a cameo, the guy who played Donkey Lips really delivered. It was
super
like 7 minutes long. It was fantastic.
Really, really solid shit. Hey, Rachel and I were talking the other night.
Michael Bower.
Michael
has
Bower. I apologize. I felt so bad every time I said the guy who played Donkey Lips.
I know.
Was 50
I wanted to
years
give him
ago.
A name.
Yeah, he has a name. Rachel asked me a question. We were talking about.
I wanted to clarify. Searched up his name and not his political interests or affiliations. So no,
gang. Just assume.
Not to say it's bad.
Not to say it's bad or good.
But we don't. We simply don't have time to vet while we're in the fucking flow state.
Yeah,
we can't vet in the flow state. It's important.
Can't vet in the flow.
Rachel and I were talking about our boys and how they are. They're pretty ticklish. They're pretty ticklish little guys. So much so that like you don't have to be trying to. It just will happen sometimes. And then Rachel said, "You're not very ticklish." I said, "No." She said, "What about your brothers?" And immediately I was hit with like 15 different feelings, emotions, reactions down in my soul. Like, I don't know. I don't know if my brothers are ticklish. Should I know if my brothers are ticklish?
Yeah.
How would I know? How could I find out? Did I tickle them? I was the little one.
Living together as children?
I don't think I tickled you guys much, but I was the littlest one. So it felt like the tickling.
A lot.
But I don't think we tickled.
I don't want to call you out, Griffin, but I knew you weren't ticklish, and I know Justin was extremely ticklish. I don't know about his current
state.
Can
I say something?
But
I'm
like,
feeling
what's that?
Regretful now that you brought this up.
Yeah.
I wish I could go back in time to a time when I was tickling you and say, like, remember this.
Remember,
you know what I mean?
Because,
like,
I don't
remember any time I ever tickled you.
Here's the thing. Of course I remember you guys tickling me. I was just a cute little guy pie. You got to get in there. But I don't remember going after you guys. And then I felt like, should I have tried to
natural
tickle my...
Natural order is... So we know tickling is how bigger mammals teach smaller mammals where the bleeding parts are, right? So it's how
correct.
You teach them to defend. And so there's no need for you to teach me where not to
your
get
bleeding
stabbed.
Parts are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or where no,
I want to make it
to blow on
clear.
Your belly, though, and you'd go nuts for it, Justin. Laughing, giggling. Griffin, I would pop your toes without warning.
You would do that, you nasty fucking hog.
Yeah, until you eventually you're like, yeah, okay.
You still do that shit.
It's
if you catch,
satisfying
if you catch
as fuck.
Some puppers out backstage at a show, you can
the goal is to get all five in one
you
go.
All five
and
once,
get like,
yeah, they call him Petey Pupper Puller.
Petey Pupper Puller coming around the stinky feet backstage.
Pupper Puller pulling perfect puppies.
At people asking, hey, can we come? Let us get some passes back to the green room after the show. I
safe.
Say, you don't want to be
you
there.
Don't
get your
be
puppies,
there. It's a guest list.
I hope you're wearing closed-toed shoes.
Pumpkin cooler.
I'm not
pumpkin.
I'm not tickling my kids. I realize tickling is like a charged subject these days. It just felt like.
Is it?
I didn't know. I don't know, man. I just felt like I didn't know.
Feels like everything is these days.
Should
right
I now? Have known? Should I have? Am I a bad? Am I a worse brother for not knowing? Or
I think on the scale of things you don't know about us, yeah. I would say whether we're ticklish or not isn't high up.
Okay, good.
Of bad things to know.
Thank you.
Also, you gotta let people grow. Sure. You know? And maybe just because we were ticklish when we were kids, it doesn't mean you know how we're at now, right?
I mean, yeah. The other day, because Justin's doing a pumpkin carving contest for the Huntington Children's Museum, and he put on the thing that he's allergic to pumpkins. And Teresa asked me, like, is that true? And I said, I don't know, which is, I think, on the grand scheme
really
of things, way worse. Way worse.
Oh, man. Okay, so listen. I waited to the last minute to fill out my bio for the pumpkin carving contest for the Huntington Children's Museum. And I said two things in that bio that I wrote. I wrote in the bio that I did wait to the last minute to do. I wrote that I am deathly allergic to pumpkins. I wrote that I am deathly allergic to pumpkins. And I wrote that if I raised $5,000, I would eat my pumpkin raw. Now, you probably can't guess what state I was in when I filled out my bio materials.
Yeah, sure.
For the Children's Museum pumpkin carving contest. But yeah. I would just love any support I could get there because yeah. I did not that. Yeah, that was not true what I wrote. But now the posts that they have started resharing are like,
this
we appreciate
hero.
Justin's sacrifice.
Not a brave hero. Yeah, I would say more of a pumpkin martyr.
Yeah. Well, my bit is going to be if I can hit 5 G's, my bit's going to be that at 6 G's, I no longer have to eat the pumpkin.
Okay.
So it's going to be, yeah, and I'll keep like just holding myself hostage.
That's great. That's great. Was that the story you wanted to tell?
No.
Wow, you got so fucking yarn spinner over there.
You
guys,
brought
so
up
much
the,
interesting shit happens.
He brought
to
up
us.
The pumpkin carving thing. That wasn't even my. I didn't bring that.
Yeah,
up.
I'm not Justin judging lives you for multi-layered.
I'm saying you live a life full of stories, and that's like I'm
stories
jealous
of passion, stories of friendship, and tales of how romance survives.
Guys, do you ever look back over like our past couple months of episodes and think we could have been talking, we could have been doing a Tron watch? And
we could have been doing a Tron watch with Jared. We let that one slide right
Let's
under.
Let next episode be very, very Tron watch centric, Trav. Let's put the time in because I don't want to throw that together. Instead, I just want to follow up on the Rocksker real quick.
Fucking yeah, man. Yeah, man.
This is, guys, sometimes I feel like the universe is kind of forming things around me. And I think that's a pretty human experience, right? And you got to shake it. But
sometimes
it gets,
all the time you feel like that. You
sometimes
know what I mean?
100% of the
sometimes
time.
Sometimes 100% of the time. I try to fight that urge because I don't think it's healthy. But I was
it's
watching.
The only perspective I've got, Justin.
Kind of fucked up to say right in front of you.
I was watching the Graham Norton show with my wife. And
your
season,
wife was on the Graham Norton show? That's a huge
that's
thing.
Huge,
that would
man.
Be a huge
Did
get,
she mention us? Did she say shit about
that
our show?
Be, no. They had a huge, wattage. They had Emily Watson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a James Norton, I think
Wait,
was his
Emma
name.
Watson?
What?
Emma no. Watson?
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt.
Different, yeah.
James Norton, I think is his name, right? Yes, he's an actor, James
There
Norton.
Is an actress named Emily Watson who was in Punch Drunk Love.
No, this is Emily Blunt.
Okay.
James Norton.
Wow.
And Graham Norton, the host of the Graham Norton show. No relation.
Be fucked
right?
up if he wasn't there, man.
And Matthew McConaughey.
Wow. Oh, all right.
And The Rock.
And The Rock. Look up at the sky. It's a pitch black void because all the stars
so
are
So, guys,
on the
I
show.
Want to tell you that the subject of The Rock and The Rocksker and The Rock's transformation came up, and it came up at a time when Matthew McConaughey was also on stage.
Uh-huh.
And what transpired was so fucking great that I wanted to include basically 8 minutes of the Graham Norton show in our show.
I don't think you are allowed to.
No,
I
but mean, if pocket, we could, no one, can you imagine?
There is no like podcast board authority who could like do fucking anything to us at this point, but we should probably be better.
Yeah. So what there is not a law against, though, is watching it over and over and over again and transcribing it yourself by hand and then having your brothers read it with you to like recreate. There's no law against that at all. Okay.
That's true. So who's he going to give the rock to? Probably Juicer's going
to
take
this. Well, I wanted to ask you guys, if you guys were going to be, if one of you was the rock and one of you was Matthew McConaughey, while I'm sharing this, I wanted you guys to figure it out. I'll be Graham Norton. But
like, Griffin would do a better McConaughey than me.
Travis has just grabbed a jug.
Well, I had an empty jug up there, and I didn't want to show it in the...
Oh, I thought you were getting a fucking prop, because you're like, here's The Rock and his jug. Everyone knows The Rock is never without his special jug.
He's great in his jug. He's practicing for our live-action Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Yeah, sure.
With The Rock as the jug band.
Ain't no hole in the wash tub!
even though this will be a dramatic section of the show,
yeah,
I do want to encourage, if we need to take a break at any point for discussion... It's a deeply incredible thing that exists, and I don't want to rush through it. Have you received the script? It's called The Rock Script.
Through what medium will we be receiving this?
I shared it in your email address. If you can look in your email address, you should see it there.
I will say, written out, it does look like it says Rock Scar.
It's hard to say The Rock Scar. It's part of the appeal. Now, I will say this. Please don't read ahead. First thing, because we need it fresh. Second thing I'll say is that I did my best with transcribing it. Please don't make any bits about how it's transcribed. Just like do your best, because obviously
I'll do my very best, dude.
There's no humor in that because I did my best.
Let's start here. Can we start here? Yeah. I don't think it would be particularly hard to throw together a Graham Norton impression. I think any one of us can handle that.
Right.
The Rock will be tough because his voice isn't just deep. It is... There is a richness to it that is hard to emulate if you just don't got the vocal cords for it. Yeah. I think we start with Matthew McConaughey assigning that one because it feels like that's the one that a bad version of is going to stick out the most.
Okay.
So just...
It's just that Matthew McConaughey talks the most in this section, and I don't want it...
You don't want it to sound like a bad Matthew McConaughey impression the whole time?
I just don't want it to feel like... I would rather...
joke.
Yeah.
Okay, Griffin, I'll take a shot at McConaughey. You take a shot at The Rock.
Okay, but let's use just sort of our normal voices with a little bit. Because Justin's right. We don't want the joke to be our impressions. He worked pretty hard on this.
Okay, thank you.
It should be about the words. Justin's not going to say that out loud.
It's unreal that Matthew McConaughey is still McConaugheying as hard as he is. And I am so fucking happy.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm so happy. All right. You know the idea.
Time out, so I'll stop it right here. Because I think it's better if we stop it right away instead of get into it and then interrupt the flow state. We did just say we weren't going to do like crazy impressions.
Yeah, unless it's like fucking sick.
unless it's sick. By doing that, you are casting a shadow over Travis and I.
Too high.
So do you want the joke to be about the words or the voices?
No. Okay, I'll be Graham Norton. I'm just making that clear.
But
the only other thing is, Griff, he only talks for like one little section. So I just wanted to have a little bit of fun for the one bit that I get to talk.
For sure. But people are going to be thinking about, because it is the introduction, while me and Travis are reading the important words you wrote, they're going to be
thinking. Also, what a sign of a great interviewer. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Is he just lets the people talk.
Okay.
You know
I'll yes, you're right. Okay. You're right. Thanks. You're right.
Thank you.
You're right. And I'm sorry. Here we go. You know the idea of Dwayne Johnson disappearing into... By the way, just so we're clear, that is where we're at now, folks.
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson.
Cool.
The idea of Dwayne Johnson disappearing into any role, you kind of think, oh, how can you transform? But you do what... And it's not just a physical thing, because it's obviously this hair. But what other things went on?
It was about 22 prosthetics. We had Kazuhiro, our Oscar-winning prosthetic artist, and he helped me transform. There was also vocal transformation, too. But the idea, I think, of transforming for me was something that, you know, I didn't know that was for me, and I wanted to do that because a lot of times in the movies that I've made in the past, the bigger movies, they're big and they're fun, and I've liked them from Jumanji to Moana, and I'll go back to those.
He says that, dude. He says, from Jumanji to Moana.
To Moana. Jumanjing, Moana. Moana.
Bananas by the bunch. Boxer got to crunch, it tastes so good.
Okay. And I'll go back to those, but there was something about this opportunity where there was a little, there was a voice behind my rib cage that was just telling me, right? So I had shared.
Does he mean his heart?
This is the first time the Rock's ever listened to his heart.
It's
it was like a feeling. It was, I don't know, a voice behind my ribcage. What's in there? My lungs?
So I had shared.
I looked at a building and thought, what if it didn't explode?
So I had shared this with Emily for years. Like it's
Emily
just,
who? Sorry, The Rock.
Emily Blunt or okay, Watson thanks. From Punch Drunk Love. One of the two. For years, it's just, it's gnawing at my gut to do more and challenge myself and grow and do something where I'm not chasing box office, but I'm doing it for me, yeah. And it wound up being the most greatest, most gratifying thing, and I've said this before, and I mean it. The Smashing Machine changed my life.
Okay, now, God, this is important. So far, Matthew McConaughey has not, to this point, as far as I could clock, spoken.
At all on the whole segment.
At all on this entire episode of the Graham Norton Show.
Okay.
Period. This maybe is at the beginning it's like some like whatever. But then like Matthew McConaughey is fully awoken by the story that The Rock has just told about the journey for the Rockster. Travis, yeah. If you would.
And Travis, again, this is quite a speech. So just don't we write are,
yeah,
checks.
Yeah.
I had that 4 a.m. in my solitude.
Now wait,
on my
now let me stop you right here because we were both okay. So brave in our not.
I had that 4 a.m. in my solitude on my own truth that hit me.
Fucking good start.
Like it's a like, butterfly.
Dude, yeah, I know. But wait,
guys, you Griffin, gotta let me get a rhythm.
Yeah, you
going
gotta let him get through a sentence, Griff. Seriously,
you're right.
Gotta let me get a rhythm going here. Okay.
Okay, it's a lot.
I had that 4 a.m. in my solitude on my own truth that hit me. That lands like a butterfly and strikes like a lightning bolt at the same time.
Jesus Christ.
That truth that you go, okay. Tomorrow when the sun comes up.
Now, Griffin, do not read along. Focus on your brother. Just listen to your brother right now.
I'm going to full screen my brother.
Yeah.
I don't think The Rock talks again in this fucking segment, so I'm clocked out.
That truth that you go, okay, tomorrow when the sun comes up and I'm back in the masses and all the world's coming at me and all those offers, I need to remember this truth. Now, I've been trying to get dramas and was even offering huge pay cuts, and they were like, no. Stay in your lane, McConaughey. You're the rom-com guy. You got that down. Mind you, I enjoyed them, but I was wanting to do something different.
From Jumanji,
I couldn't do what I called
Jumanji to Moana.
I am doing those. Please ask me to do more of those, please.
If my brother, my brother, me episode goes by where I do not say from Jumanji to Moana, then I failed. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I was wanting to do something different because I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I said, I got to stop doing what I'm doing. So I said, no more rom-coms. Called the agent. I said, let the town know it's not going to happen. I went to Texas. Camilla's pregnant on the ranch. Quiet down there. Camilla says to me, look, you don't know how long it's going to be dry. How long you going to not go with work? This could go on, but this is non-negotiable. We're not going back. I was like, not going back. Now a year goes by. No, nothing. Nothing.
He did go dark for a bit.
I called my agent. He goes, Matthew, I haven't heard your name in 6 months. Am I going, okay, I may have just wrote myself a one-way ticket out of Hollywood. I start to think about other vacations, school teacher. Other vocations, school teacher, wildlife guide. Maybe I
imagine?
Go back to law school?
How
now we will take a brief rest break. Here.
How little of this syllabus is Matthew McConaughey, the school teacher, going to cover in any given day? I feel like you're going to get... Once you reach
Mr.
long...
McConaughey, don't need this
yeah,
thing.
I did say only 16 questions today before we even get started. But Todd, yeah, go.
Go,
in
please.
Sahara, when you were working with...
yeah. Not even thinking about, of course, the constant Q&A people would have. I was just thinking of Matthew McConaughey trying to, like, you know, get into the Battle of Versailles and just really just taking a long walk to get there.
His vocations that he lists off.
School teacher.
Are school. And listen, I'm not one to hate on Hollywood people. They're working hard and I'd love to be one. But it does show a little bit of a disconnect with the job market. When you're trying to think of jobs and you're like, school teacher, wildlife guide.
Yeah.
And then maybe to me, the most, go back to law school.
Okay, but like if you were to look at Matthew McConaughey, I think this shows a wonderful awareness of who Matthew McConaughey is as a person. Like, if I wasn't doing this, probably like a fucking teacher or a wildlife guy or
what
something.
What if he kept going and he'd be like, or like a treasure hunter or astronaut physicist?
Travis, I thought you'd be more excited that the Lincoln lawyer was so close to being an actual
Justin,
reality.
This is what I'm saying, is he has done quite a few movies where he has been a law guy.
Yeah, right. For sure.
My question is, was there a time when Matthew McConaughey was in law school that now would necessitate going back to
it? Let's hope, right?
Yeah, let's hope. There's more. Anyway,
back to the script.
All right, 18 months goes by. I really think I've done it. I'm out. I get this romantic action comedy. Comes with an $8 million offer. I read it. I passed. I say, no, thank you. Comes back with a $10 million offer. I said, no, thank you. Comes back with a $12 million offer. I said, no, thank you. It comes back with a $14.5 million offer. I said, let me read that thing again. Same words as the $8 million offer, but it was better. It was funnier. I could see myself in it. This could work, right? But I ultimately said no.
This fucking story, by the way, killed. I was like dying on the ground when he was talking about that fucking, it is funnier. I could see myself in it. Fucking love Matthew McConaughey, still in his element. Everyone else on stage, still just kind of listening to Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Graham Norton just say something here. That must be so hard to say no to.
It was. But if saying no to it, I think, sent a little invisible message to Hollywood. Oh, McConaughey is not bluffing. We were talking about not flinching. Yes, ask permission. Oh, he's playing offense. He's not just doing nothing. He's on to something. And 2 months after I turned that down, the offer came in that I was looking for, and they came in droves. It went Killer Joe, Mud, The True Detective, Dallas Buyers, Magic Mike. They came in everything I was looking for, and I would not have come in if I wouldn't have unbranded for that 20 months. Yes, all right. Now, Dwayne, you didn't have to unbrand. You had enough steam going. I can make whatever choice I want, and I'm going to make this thing happen over here. It was a time for me where I had to unbrand, and it took 20 months. But then I was doing, and all of a sudden, my work was challenging the vitality of my life. I was like, there you go. Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
He throws a lot of like seasoning on the ends of his sentences, which I guess like he came up with to be like, yeah, today I went to the doctor and I got some routine lab work done. Yeah. All right.
It cool. is his like, but he's like, he spends it a little bit just to give himself another half second to come with up with like just the dopest stuff, man.
Yeah,
like,
we all have filler stuff. Words. His just happened to be fucking chill ass.
Trademarked. Yeah. Like movie.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's cool.
The idea that The Rock would be like, but this is the moment that I got to see is like The Rock being like, I'm trying so hard to get the Rocksker.
Yeah.
And there's like nobody that could appreciate my journey. And then Matthew McConaughey's like, well, hold on one second. Hold on.
You know, have
the great thing about that story.
Yeah.
It keeps getting older.
Yeah.
But I keep seeing myself in it. That is.
I also, I want to point out.
Guys. That was fucking great.
Really, yes. Really, really unhinged. Really, truly, truly like peak outer space fucking space alien shit.
Outside of Matthew McConaughey on a talk show, if you're out at a party and just some random person, you're talking and they jump in with this, the only response you will logically give is, okay,
all cool. Right.
So
awesome.
What I was saying was.
I do think it's a little fucked how he says you didn't have to unbrand The Rock. You were a smashing machine already, and the stars really aligned for you. To that, I would say, hey, Matt McConaughey, why not just be in a really good rom-com?
Well,
you want to be pushed and challenged and get big awards for your work. Just be in a super good rom-com that does that.
This is what The Rock, all The Rock asked is, I would like to still play a wrestler. I just don't want to also wear a dress.
Yeah.
I want to be a wrestler. I just also don't want to be the Tooth Fairy and have magic powers.
That's all I want.
If I would like to be a big man that throws people around, but not work for Santa Claus, if that's possible.
Yeah. Well,
actually, I haven't seen the Smashing Machine. I don't know for sure that that guy doesn't work for Santa Claus.
The Smashing Machine?
Yeah.
He does.
It's not brought up in the trailers, but you can't show everything.
I don't think the Softies would peddle in such lowbrow mainstream ideas.
Should we do a question on our advice show?
I'd love to.
Yeah, in our storytelling world, you can't control box office results. But what I realize you can't control is your performance and your commitment to completely disappear and go elsewhere. And I will always run to that opportunity. It was my honor to transform in this role for my director, Benny Sadfi. Thank you, brother, for believing in me. Truth is, this film has changed my life. With deep gratitude, respect, and radical empathy, DJ.
Can I also point out, Justin, that another theme, yeah, a clear theme is he wants that Rockstar. Another clear theme is this: he doesn't think this movie is going to do well at the box office.
Oh, Travis, that is settled.
Almost
law.
Guaranteed.
It's Travis, that is settled. It looks to lose between $10 to $15 million.
Yeah.
Now, the question you're asking yourself is, how many little gold statues could you fought with that money? Well,
we shall see, I suppose.
We shall see. Well, perhaps the losses are not so great when one's going home with Oscar gold.
I can't fucking...
No
I
price
can't,
too high for the Oscar.
I can't care this much about the results of an Oscar. I can't have that hanging over me. I can't be watching the Oscars fucking scared that it won't happen. I can't
Griffin, actually... That assumes there's going to be a period between the nominations and the awards where you're still wondering if The Rock will be winning it or not. So I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I would love for just a nod. The nod would be a huge
The nod
victory.
Would be huge, but it's not the same.
You can also live in the comfort, Griffin, of knowing that because we live in a multiverse, no matter what happens, there is a universe that exists somewhere where The Rock maybe wins all of the Oscars that night.
That's true. Anything's, yeah.
But Travis, in that, what you're saying though is in some reality,
yeah,
The Rock is winning an AVN award for the Smushing Machine. Yeah, like you could apply that to anything.
I didn't say.
You know?
I said all the Oscars. Well, yeah, Justin. The Justin, Rock, could, yeah.
The Rock could not be The Rock, but instead like a Hyundai Sonata that you can drive around in. Like it's
a sentient. In a nearly infinite multiverse, perhaps infinite.
And if you put an apple in a box forever, eventually it'll turn into an iPhone. That's, saw that on YouTube, guys.
Huh. A rock can neither what be created nor destroyed.
Ma'am, we got to do a question at some point, but if you put an apple in a box forever, eventually it'll take every form of matter and be everything all it could possibly become, including an iPhone. What I said wasn't any different from what you said.
Now, hold on, because I also want to point out, Griffin, that implies it could happen right away.
No, it'll take a minute. That's
so there has to be a set amount of time. You can't just say for forever. There's got to be a set amount of time between Apple and iPhone that you don't need to check the box.
If you put all the apple particles in the box, they'll dissolve and turn into different particles, and they'll bounce off each other, turn into anything, and be any form of matter imaginable in this.
That's a great box.
It's a pretty kick-ass box. You can put anything in it, and it'll be in an iPhone.
Forever?
In 600 trillion years? No, for like a little bit.
What are you making a box out of that's lasting forever?
Can we do a question?
Yeah. My friend's grandma makes cool quilts, and I want to get one of them. Problem is, I never met her grandma, and I can't think of a not rude way to ask my friend to ask her grandma to make me a quilt. My birthday is in a couple months. How can I subtly hint to my friend that to get me a quilt from her grandma and to make her think it was her idea? That's from Quizzical Quilt Quandary in Queens. Well, huh. It's a heck of a thing to ask someone's grandma.
It's
someone
like
else's grandma.
The quilt is like the gift of the grandma. Do you know what I mean?
I got a quilt from my granny.
Yeah.
And I got one. And yeah. I don't use it ever. Because if something happened to it, I would be heartbroken. Yeah. That's my one I got.
That's his one he got.
That's
my
one.
And more importantly, he didn't have to reach out to granny on Etsy to get her to make it for him. It was just a sort of gift of the grandmother.
I do love the idea of like just sitting there
and being like, hey, your grandma made this kick-ass quilt. How much does she charge for quilts?
Yeah. How much do you think raw materials plus labor for your grandmother? Bearing
in
mind,
if I give her a bunch of old fabric things that mean a lot to me,
yeah,
will she make me one?
Here's a box with 100 t-shirts in it.
Here's a box with 100 apples in it. How long before it turns into a quilt from your grandma?
It'll turn into 100 quilts, Travis. It could turn into anything.
No, if there's more apples in the box, shouldn't it happen faster?
So
you could do a Tuesdays with Maury in this scenario. It would be a good thing.
God, so many situations.
If you go to your grandma, if you say, go to your friend and you say, hey, I heard your grandma will be passing away soon.
Wait, why would you say that?
I would love to spend some time with her.
Do you just mean statistically?
I would just love to spend some time with her before she passes away. Yeah. And I would just love it if she could teach me how to live by showing me how to die. If your grandma could do that. Yeah. And I think that
and maybe how to quilt.
And that's what they say. Cool. And the guy says that in Tuesdays.
I don't
want
to learn how to quilt.
Yeah.
This person's pretty clear about that. They don't want a hobby. They want a quilt.
My favorite part of Tuesdays with Maury is when Maury is like, I'm fixing to die, but first I'll teach you how to live.
Yeah, that is what it is. I mean,
that is what it is. It's what he says.
What it says on the jacket, you know, that is.
Yeah, but the guy doesn't go to Maury and say, hey, you're looking not so great before you go. And Maury's like, what the fuck? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Is that what happens in the book?
Yeah, man. It's like very much about that.
Well, like, what you're saying, say like, that.
Yeah, dude. That's why it was so sad and everybody was so horny for it, because it was such a huge bummer.
You're hanging out with Maury and his dog Marley, yeah, and you're like, hey, you two look like you're going to die soon.
Marley and me is another, it's the exact same premise. Yeah, it's the exact same premise as Susan and Maury.
Yeah, but with a dog. If you want a quilt, I'm sure you can, there are quilt artists in your area that you could contract to do this. What is it about these grandma's quilt? Is it because it would be presumably gratis? If that's your logic.
It sounds like it's a real dank quilt.
Maybe it's a really dank quilt, but that's grandma's gift, guys. Like,
it's a grift of a grandma. Are you willing to put in the work? You know what I mean? Because like grandma means like you got to take the calls. You got to put in the phone calls. You got to buy the... You know, you got to buy the frame. You got to buy the Aura frames. You got to do it. Yeah. You got to put it in.
And not just until you get the quilt, because she'll repossess that shit. She'll show up.
She will take your quilt back.
What? No, she won't.
If you stop taking the calls?
She'll show up and take the quilt, yeah.
No, the quilt has got... If the grandma gives away the quilt... If the grandma gives away the quilt too early, that's on grandma. You know,
why buy the grandma if you can get the quilt for free? Am I right?
Right.
Thank you for saying it, Trav. Thank you. We're all thinking it.
I bet you get burned like that with one grandkid. You're not going to let that shit fly with another one. You'll know the
drift.
You want a what now? Oh, so you can fucking bail? Because we're supposed to go to Bonnaroo.
I'll add one square for every Bonnaroo you take me to.
Fucking, that's good. That's good.
What about bumper shoes so we can get two a year? No, fucking no. Bonnaroo only.
Bonnaroo only. I don't want to go. Hottest, Junest sun.
That would be a sick.
Burning Man is three squares.
It's a system. It's a bargaining system. It's like if you take me to lunch, that's like one quarter of a square. I'll maybe put like a one small sandwich or something in there. But like if it's a really good dinner, I might do a bigger steak in there, and I'll take up more of a quilt. You know what I mean? It's like a bigger square.
If we go see a movie together and it turns out I don't like it, I'll take a square away.
Yeah, unstitch it.
Better research that
now,
film before
if it
you
is
take me.
Stitch, if it's a Stitch movie, then I'll put double because I love Stitch.
I love Stitch so much, I'll just get in the mood for it.
But like it will be, I'll Stitch. Put like four Stitch squares whether you like Stitch or not.
And sometimes you'll just be talking. If you say some dope shit like, grandma, you might be dying so I can learn how to live, I'll smile and I'll put a square in right there so you know that was dope. That was
it's
great
It's live
shit.
Update.
That'd be
live
sick update. If grandma's like, I'm going to make you a quilt, but it's going to all be Stitch because I love Stitch.
Yeah.
Why do you think I got into sewing?
Oh, damn. That would be so brutal if you're like, yeah, I'll make a quilt for your friend. He shows up. It's just all Stitch. But it's
your
like,
friend Stitch?
It's a Stitch waifu blanket.
Yeah.
What's that, Travis?
I don't know what a blanket.
I'd rather not talk about it.
I know what a pillow is, but a blanket.
Like it's a quilt with like a sexy bikini stitch on it that you would wrap yourself up in to feel love.
In quilt form?
Yeah.
My understanding is that that's usually the domain of pillows, because then there's a depth to it. And
that's why they can only get it from this grandma. She's the only person making waifu quilts.
She's the only one making lewd quilts. Lewd stitch memorabilia.
It doesn't have to be lewd, Griffin. It could be beautiful. Huh?
Okay.
Okay. Beautiful. Hey, let's go to the money zone.
Spread eagle.
I'm sorry.
You didn't have to. The door was right there.
It's better with you.
When you're feeding yourself, yes. There are so many factors to consider.
Oh! You know,
how much time you've got. What ingredients you have in the home. If you're
you're about to realize this. Travis just set up a fucking banger with that. Because the company we're doing is Factor. You're going
to
be like, God damn, Griffin? That's a good one, Travis.
Griffin. He was in
I'm just trying to
Can
hype
we strike
you up,
that
dude?
From the record? Can we?
That I'm hyping you?
No, but you said the reveal.
Well, that's only so they know when you hit it later that they're going to be like totally amped because they'll know what.
But I was just about to hit it.
Okay, well, go ahead. You're the one holding it up now. I'm sitting here waiting, watching.
The one factor you don't have to worry about is Factor meals because they.
What did I tell you, folks? He's done it again.
With Factor, you can choose from a wide variety of meal options, including premium seafood choices like salmon and shrimp at no extra cost.
If you sound sad while talking about the incredible salmon and
you're
shrimp,
right.
The Factor
for the
offers-
first time, try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more with Factor.
Found a middle ground.
Yeah. Yep. Factor's great. How's that?
That's really good.
I love the variety of options. I love knowing it's there for me.
Like this week, just this week, I'll give you an example. Here's a ready-made meal. 2 minutes, you could be eating pepper fondue shredded chicken.
What?
How about some sweet potato grits and sage chicken?
Oh shit, that sounds good.
I don't mind if I do. That sounds great. Like, and it's made by actual people that actually care about what the food tastes like.
This isn't AI food.
No, this is real human food for real people.
So eat smart at factormeals.com/brother50off and use code brother50off, BROTHER 50OFF, to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code brother50off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase.
Hey, Alexis.
Hey, Ella.
What animal has the most teeth?
I would guess a shark.
A snail.
No, snails don't have teeth.
They have thousands and they are freaky looking.
No, I don't want that to be true. Okay. Did you know that the hippocampus in your brain is named after the half horse, half fish sea creature found in Greek mythology?
I didn't know that, but we're meant to be doing animal trivia and hippocampus isn't a real animal.
Well, that doesn't matter on Comfort Creatures.
You're right, it doesn't matter at all.
Comfort Creatures is a cozy show for lovers of animals of all shapes and sizes, real and unreal.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then join us every Thursday for new episodes on MaximumFun.org.
Are you a celebrity? Are you searching for meaning, connection, and a little levity these days? Hi, I'm Kumail Nanjiani, actor, writer, and yes, a celebrity too. And I've got 4 words for you. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Are you tired of junkets, red carpets, sick of the endless spicy snacks you have to eat? Do you want to connect with someone who gets your work and laugh with you a little? Join me, Andre 3000, Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, and many more and become a guest on Bullseye with Jesse Thorne from NPR and Maximum Fun.
Dun, 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 dun.
I want a munch
squab.
I want to munch squab.
Travis, stop cross stitching.
I'm not cross stitching. I'm sewing leather.
We're plugged in now, dude. That was us getting plugged in.
Thanks.
I was mid stitch. You have to understand,
Griffin. Do you watch Love Island?
Stitch blanket. No, I watch Love is Blind. Love Island is weirdly the only one of those that I don't watch.
I love Islands.
Son of a gun. This is going to be tough. So you guys are going to have to help me decode this. And we're just going to do a little guesswork here. Maybe a little quick Googling. But
I watch so many shows like Love Island. I think I could probably.
I just wanted to tell you, Griffin, that Sweet Green launches new Ranchy Batty Bowl in partnership with Love Island reality TV stars.
Ranchy Batty Bowl?
Ranchy Batty Bowl?
Ranchy Batty.
Ranchy
Batty Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
On the heels of Sweet Green's viral fall campaign featuring Nick Van Steenberg, Nickelandria Nation fans. Now, that Nickelandria Nation is the name of the fans of the pairing of Nick Van Steenberg and Olandria Carthen.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So
it's not a good romance. They are a very famous. Names together.
Thank you, Travis. Yes. So they're a very famous and loved couple from Love Island. So, to answer the question of where's Olandria, Sweet Green responded with a co-created collab bowl that's as extra and iconic as this breakout couple themselves. The Ranchy Batty Bowl is the perfect mix of heat and crunch and is available for a limited time at participating locations nationwide starting October 6th.
Can I tell you, Justin, so far in this press release, I don't know what food is contained within the Ranchy Batty Bowl.
That's okay. You don't need to know that shit. I'm looking at Mr. Nicholas Van Steenberg right now, and he looks so much like James Marsden. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of
outrageous. I think I'm gonna make a prequel show called Like Isthmus.
Yeah.
And if you do well on Like Isthmus, then neutral, you get to go.
You start at Neutral Peninsula.
Yes.
You have to climb your way there from minor sort of dislike delta.
But can you escape Hatred Cove? Everyone's fighting in Hatred Cove.
You get bumped back down, too, if you fuck up.
You gotta fight your way out of Hatred Cove.
The whole time you're on Hatred Cove, it's like so weird, because you're like, I thought this was the beach that makes you old. I thought this was Old Beach. It's Hate Cove. That's a different... Old Beach is across the pond.
Yeah, and unlike Isthmus, you are there to make friends.
The bowl features kale, white rice, blackened chicken, shredded cabbage, tortilla chips, sweet potatoes, jammy tomatoes, and crispy onions.
There's four things in there that would run right through me, and I would
sweet, spicy, and a little chaotic.
Yeah.
In all the right ways to make sure everyone's heads turn. This drop celebrates how Sweet Green and Nickelandria Nation come together around food that tastes amazing and feels even better to eat.
Oh, bold. Hey, this is for all those people out there who don't like shitty, gross food.
Listen to this one, Listen. Olandria and Nick are rallying Nickelandria Nation to help make the Ranchy Batty Bowl the top seller at Sweet Green.
I should hope so.
Yeah, I would hope they'd be putting their back into it, man.
Yeah, but are you supposed to say that? I don't think you're supposed to say that in it. I don't think you're supposed to say, like...
Please, in the commercial, we're trying please, really, we're giving it our
please.
All.
Please, we're trying to
you can throw them away if you don't want it. Just buy them,
please. It helps us.
I wish I could go back later and be like, hey, was there a Nickelandria Nation? did they come to buy your salad? I would be very interested to know that.
I mean, it's no Trav Nation, that's for sure.
Sweet Green has always been about
Sweet Green. If you want to reach out to me with a Trav Nation salad,
it's right there.
I famously ate salad for many days in a row. Famously.
It's true.
It's all anyone ever talks about.
Yeah.
Sweet Green has always been about listening.
Thank you for asking, Justin. What would be in my salad?
Yeah, I was actually dying to know.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. Peanut butter M&Ms.
Crazy. Fucking awful.
That's all.
Did you know that the disappointed sort of like lean back drink look doesn't work as good when you are drinking from a Disney on Ice Mini Must cup?
It's not for you. God damn. I just wanted to enjoy some of my protein coffee.
Yeah.
In peace.
But you're doing it out of a big child's cup, I will say. And
that's the only way M&Ms, I have room to mix the old coffee and the protein drink.
It is not
peanut butter M&Ms in a chocolate milkshake, but in a bowl.
Yeah. So no leaves.
Sweet green is always
no
been
green.
Not listening.
No
our
green.
Chocolate
just
is from a plant, Griffin.
Welcome to Sweet. I'm Travis. Here's my sweet bowl.
Fans wanted Nickelandria, and we're excited to deliver a bowl that changes
their gummy bears
bowl
too.
Energy. All right, finish.
Because in that cold milkshake,
Travis, I'm done. I'm done with the interruptions. Now I need to know more about this bowl, so I have more to joke about.
Fans wanted Nickelandria, and we're excited to deliver a bowl that channels their bold energy while staying true to our ethos.
Probably
food that's fresh, flavorful, and rooted in real ingredients from farmers and partners we know and trust.
There's an editor that went over this that saw the usage of the words bowl and bold one word apart, and were like, that feels like something we should cut. But then they remembered what they were editing, and they were like, oh, fuck, what am I doing?
I don't have any time for it.
How would you guys feel if someone could sum up your personal ethos
with a ranchy batty bowl?
With a ranchy batty bowl salad.
Pretty fucking good. Honestly, it would probably save me a lot in, like, therapy, and a lot of the work that I have to do would be way easier if I had a self-reflecting salad.
Oh, you want to get to know what I'm all about? Just eat this salad.
Eat this salad. Then
this
you know
is where I'm trying to keep my spirits up, guys. But like, well, hold on. Let me just... Working with Sweet Green on the Ranchy Batty Bowl has been such a fun ride, said Nick Van Steenberg. We loved creating something together that we can't wait for the fans to try.
I don't think that's what his voice would... He's so handsome, I do not think his voice would sound like that.
The fans asked, and Sweet Green delivered, said Olandria Carthen. Getting to create this bowl with Nick has been such a blast. The Ranchy Batty Bowl is spicy, playful, and packed with personality, and we can't wait for everyone to taste it. I just feel like you should, this is me now, I just feel like you should be able to go into a fucking salad store without having to know the neologism that Instagram has cooked up for the celebrity couple du jour. You know what I mean? Like,
fair.
Do you want a ranchy batty bowl? What the fuck are you talking about? We made it with Nickelandria Nation. Go, stop!
Yeah.
I'm going to McDonald's!
Give me that bowl of peanut butter M&M's and a milkshake.
What does BTS want me to have?
I mean, you could say I'm going to McDonald's, but sometimes McDonald's will be like, do you want what BTS is having? They will explicitly be like that sometimes.
I'm complaining about McDonald's too. I shouldn't have to know who someone is. They just, if you're gonna do a food deal with someone, they should be famous for doing food properly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kenny Rogers Roasters is where we went wrong. Why didn't anybody listen to him about chicken?
Start there.
He did The Gambler and Islands in the Stream, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Michael Richards' Spaghetti Factory.
Got to. Did you guys know that that was the first two words of Spaghetti Factory before they put some distance between themselves and Mr. Richards? Did you know that, listener? It's true. That man loves spaghetti. And
making it.
And making it. And really going off the chains with some really, really racist, really, 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 really super.
My brother used to host a podcast about reality dating shows.
Sure.
And if he doesn't know.
I don't know.
Then why are you doing an entire salad about it? It makes me so angry.
Yeah. I mean, I still probably wouldn't have followed it. Just Sweet Green sort of works in sort of food materials that I don't, that my body sort of does reject via osmosis if I overindulge.
I gotta do another question. Recently, my husband and I were at a restaurant and overheard another couple talking about the other types of cuisine they enjoy. They described a few dishes that my husband and I knew, but they couldn't remember the name of. We both really wanted to tell them the dish names, but felt too awkward cutting into a private conversation. Is there a graceful way to cut into a conversation with vital information that the other party so desperately needs without seeming like an eavesdropping creep? That's from Holly Pruitt, Georgia. Okay.
Just straight up and down, I think, quick one. No.
No. Yeah.
No, why?
It's like, we have a whole thing about that. Like,
no,
listening
okay,
to other
now, hold on.
Here he goes.
Here's my question for you guys.
Is this one that you included because you knew that you were going to have the nasty boy argument for it?
No. Yes. So my question is there a level of private conversation, noise level in public where it becomes a public conversation by default? If you're talking about it loudly enough that I'm a table over and I know exactly what you're talking about,
I don't think that's a private conversation.
Let me.
I'm an incredible observer of the human condition.
Go ahead.
The idea that I wouldn't perceive everything going on around me with perfect clarity is truly, truly unhinged. Of course, I'm seeing everything. It's courtesy that I'm acting like I'm not observing the entirety of the world around me at all times.
Because you don't want that pressure. You don't want we all know when we're out at a restaurant that everyone is listening to everything that we are saying, but we don't need the pressure of them confirming that for us.
Okay.
Rachel and I went to a dim sum, Michelin star dim sum restaurant in Hong Kong, and we got in there and it was just long lunch table seating. It was just long, unbroken lunch table seating. And we were, you know, elbows to asses with people dining next to each other across from just absolute strangers. And even then, Travis, I do not think it's okay to be like, I think you mean cacio e pepe. Like, I don't think you're allowed to do that. I don't think you can.
Is there a level of frustration that the people talking about it reach and not being able to think of it, at which point you are doing a service so welcome that you won't be shunned for it?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't think there's any daylight here, man.
Here's what I will say. The only move where you can maybe get in there is sometimes I will be having a conversation with someone and I will realize that I have said something so loudly, unintentionally, that it has become a more public conversation. And then at that point, I might try to throw out like, I meant to do this the entire time, kind of like, right, everybody? You know what I mean? Like, I was actually trying to bring us all in. I wasn't. Yeah. I just start yelling for no reason. But if they're trying to play that off, then maybe you can slide in with like, actually.
You are also robbing them of that great moment, like 30 minutes later or on the drive home, where one of them just immediately, like it clicks finally, and they're like, cacio e pepe. And then they laugh and they kiss and they fall in love because of that moment.
If they really wanted the answer, they would Google it, right?
Yeah,
isn't that the implication?
Yeah. Yeah. If you do that to me, I will assume you just Googled it faster than I did, probably using some wasteful AI. And then I'm going
to sorry, my mid journey glasses tell me that you wanted me to say cacio e pepe. I'm not even sure what that meant, but I got a prompt that said, go say cacio e pepe to those people. So I'm just coming over to say that.
My meta oracles actually heard you before you said out loud what you were saying, and cacio e pepe. Cacio e pepe. The spec said so.
Zuckerberg asked me to come ask you to review this place on Google Maps, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you.
Are they always watching their glasses? So I hope so.
I can close my eyes.
Cover them? Good.
I guess I just think we're a little too disconnected.
Absolutely we are. Fully, Travis, 100%.
Yeah.
We're not going to start building bridges by correcting each other at restaurants.
Yeah, but like Travis, you're 100% right. But if you walk over to be like, cacio e pepe, the person at the table is not going to be like, yes, it starts here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, embrace me.
Maybe you guys are charming
enough. Take me in your arms.
I've done this before, and I am a welcomed addition to any table and friend group. People love it when I help them remember the names of cuisines that they like.
That's possible. I think it's possible. I think maybe 30% of people will receive that and they'll like it. So maybe you've just gotten kind of lucky.
Yeah, and I will also say, Travis, there's a big difference between getting corrected and getting corrected by a world famous podcaster.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? Like, of course they're going to be a little excited.
That is true, because usually when I'm like, is it cacio e pepe? Hi, I'm Travis McElroy from my brother.
I got a little glitter on your shoulder. Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm going to actually, there's a definitive answer to this that we have not even considered yet, and it is abso-fucking-lutely no, because what if you're wrong?
Oh, chill.
Can you fucking imagine you walk over there?
No, that wasn't it.
They're like, what was that dish? It was like a noodles with a white sauce.
Are you sure?
And you roll up like... cacio e pepe, and they're like, no, fettuccine alfredo, actually, we were thinking of. It's crazy, I couldn't remember the name of that.
You being such a turd reminded us of the right answer. We hate you.
We hate you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Hey, this week we're going to be in Salt Lake City in San Diego. Will you please come see us?
Please. It's our last shows of the 20 Thunder Drive tour.
We're going to be doing the 50th Taz Live Show. That's wild. We're going to be going back to balance. For this show, we're going to have Erica Ishii as a special guest, and Griffin McElroy will be GMing that. If you're coming to a Bim Bam show and you got a question you want answered or fear you want read aloud, email that, mbmbam@maximumfun.org. put your city in the subject line. More info and ticket links are available at bit.ly/McElroy Tours.
But here's the exciting news. It's not our last show of the year.
No, yeah, it fucking isn't, man.
Yeah.
Because well, I said it was the last show of our 20 Thunder Drive tour.
Yes,
I think,
but it's not the last show of the year.
No way.
Because this year for Candle Nights, we're going back to Huntington, doing a live show, but you can still join us even if you can't make the trip in person, because we're doing the in-person show December 6th at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale this Friday, October 17th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, which includes the virtual stream ticket, because we will be streaming a digital premiere of the recording of the show with bonus behind-the-scenes footage, all kinds of stuff. That premieres on December 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be in the chat for the premiere, and there will be video-on-demand access through January 3rd. Tickets are available now, and all proceeds from the show will be donated to Harmony House, which seeks to end homelessness in the Huntington area through permanent housing and supportive service programs. Tickets for both events are available at bit.ly/candlenights2025. That's bit.ly/candlenights2025.
It's going to be very fun. We've been working on it and coming up with some ideas that I'm just fucking stoked about. I'm also stoked about Montaigne for letting us use the theme song "My Life Is Better with You." It really is a great album, one of my faves of the year. Getting a lot of rotation on my devices. Hey, also we have merch over at macaronimerch.com that you should go check out. Do we have a fear?
We do.
Tell it to me,
Griffin. Why don't you read it?
I demand it.
This year, I'm going to be faster than my fear of the ceiling fan being at max speed.
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, may kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.